Well, grace and peace to you in the name of our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sustainer. Amen. So before I came to serve at PLM in campus ministry, I was in Wisconsin, and I served for 3 years as a chaplain at Attic Angel Place. It's a retirement and elder care community on the west side of Madison in Wisconsin. And while I was there, I will confess, I didn't feel much of a calling to be in that particular ministry, but I was trying to figure out what God really wanted with me, because I'd had a couple different calls in parishes that had not worked out well. The people were lovely. There were a lot of things going on. And I was just trying to figure out, okay, maybe that's not the thing for me, but maybe this chaplain thing, and the person that told me about it said it's kind of like being a cruise ship chaplain. You're really more of like a spiritual activity director more than anything else. So I thought, you know what? We'll try. Never hurts to try. So I began my time at Attic in December of 2019. And again, it was more of a spiritual activity director and kind of religious advisor. It was more like the fun kind of fun stuff. But then, as many of us know, March of 2020, all things went down. And our residents were asked to remain in their rooms, and the entire essence of the community was gone in an instant. No group activities, no dining together. It changed dramatically, and my role changed dramatically. All of ours did. And it was not easy, as we all can remember. 2020 was not easy by any stretch. And most days, especially in the first months, were hard and confusing and overwhelming. The residents didn't always, depending on where they were, like in some had dementia and didn't quite remember what was going on. But everyone's schedule changed. Everything felt so weird. And as we tried to figure out the best ways to keep our residents from getting sick, I started to flex my role more as kind of a confidant and an advocate. And I ended up being called on to do more one-on-one conversations with residents, especially when they were struggling with COVID and all that came with it, when they were missing their family. And actually, a lot of times, conversations turned to people questioning their purpose. Because most of these residents had moved into this Attic Angel community because they didn't want to be alone, and they recognized their growing needs for assistance as they were aging. They loved Attic because it had so many activities. There was an art studio, there was a community room that had adult education every single week. There were all kinds of things going on. That's why they came. And the majority of these residents were in their mid to late 80s and 90s, so they had long passed like early retirement. They were ready to just enjoy life. They had hoped for that community to be one where they could still do a lot of really great things. And the pandemic shutdown changed that for longer than any of us could have predicted. And it was really hard to see the effects of the pandemic and, even more, a faster decline of many residents who didn't have those social interactions that they had yearned for in the community as best as we could try and give it. The one thing of being the chaplain was I had the privilege of being able to move between every single kind of living community within each. So I could hang out in the apartments with the independent living, I could hang out in the assisted living, and the nursing home, and the memory care. I had that privilege because not everybody was able to move between as we tried to keep things contained. So one day, I was visiting with a woman, I'm gonna call her Polly to protect her identity. She had been a resident at the community for many years, and at that time, she was nearing her 100th birthday. She was sweet and kind, and she was loved by every single staff person, and she'd usually been visited every day by her family. But she hadn't been able to see them for a long time because it was, I think, like a year that we kept outside visitors from coming into the building. So I had been asked to visit with her because she was just having a really bad day. And as Polly and I talked for a while, she was a deep person of faith. She had grown up going to a Methodist church that At the time, they actually had a thing you could call in on the phone to listen to the sermon because she didn't have any other sort of technology. It was cool to do that. Anyway, while she and I were chatting, eventually she just said, "I don't understand. Why am I still here? I have been ready for God to take me for years. Why am I still here? What's the point? My husband's gone. My friends are gone. I've outlived family members. I can't even see my family members right now. I'm so ready. Why does it feel like God has forgotten about me?" Oof, that was a bit of a punch to the guts. And I wish that I had answers for her. I wish I knew what God was thinking. That would make life so easy, right? But I knew that my purpose was not to give her answers. It was to give her space to talk, give her space to be heard, to be listened to, and hopefully, at least, to help her feel safe in asking those big questions that I think a lot of us think but don't voice aloud. Polly's deep need was, I think, to feel seen again. And though it was always a joy and heavy, it was a good thing for me to feel like I could at least offer some accompaniment in that journey. And so then when I came to PLM, which campus ministry in some ways feels like a world away from Attic Angel Place, it actually isn't. The thing that I'm kind of figuring out is that I'm spending time with awesome young adults is that they are also trying to figure out what their purpose is. I hear those same questions, even if it's not in the same words. We are trying to figure out where we are going from here. So I feel that from all ends of the spectrum of life experience, whether we are looking forward or looking back and reflecting, often, maybe not always consciously, we wonder how or even whether our lives are making a difference at all. And maybe some days we have that best day where we feel like we've hit the jackpot. And others we feel we've completely missed the mark. In our Barn Geese worship that has helped to guide our Lenten worship journey, we consider vocational joy this morning. Maybe you are familiar with this hopefully infamous quote by Friedrich Buchner. Buchner? I never know how. Frederick. "The place God calls you is to the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet." I'll say that one more time, just in case. "The place God calls you is to the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet." This is often referred to as kind of the point of vocation, which is something different than a job you happen to do or a hobby you happen to enjoy. And so I think we need to look deep into this crossroad where your deep joy meets the world's deep hunger, the deep need, because I think it's a different way of thinking what it means to be community together. This consideration of our different vocations, our different callings, means we are facing the deep hurts of the world head on. Whether they are in our own selves and our own experiences, or that we are looking out to the places where we see deep need. And honestly, it's often much more comfortable to seek out those places where there is actually peace and kindness and compatibility. Most of us don't actively seek out the places where there is hurt and discomfort and pain, probably especially in ourselves. I'd venture it's because we feel helpless, because we can't fix it. We can't make all things better. And yet, God calls us to the places where our deep joy meets the deep needs of the world. Now, honestly, most of us never feel fully qualified for that kind of work. And yet, God calls us to face the world and be part of it. Without fear of failure, without fear of death, without fear of going it alone. And that's where we find Jesus. With this, our last Sunday in the season of Lent, because it's Palm Sunday next week, we are anticipating that week, that Sunday, when we commemorate Jesus' entry into Jerusalem as he is marching forward to the cross, as we anticipate the drama and humility and pain and hope all wrapped in Holy Week, culminating on the resurrection morning which I don't mean to scare you, but it's 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Yay. As we know what is coming, we see that that is the crossroads of Jesus' full humanity and full divinity. Because there is nothing sanitary, neat, tidy, peaceful, or comfortable about Jesus' final week, or really most of his ministry. It's messy and it's challenging, much like our own human stories. And yes, our stories are also very beautiful, but we're messy. And Jesus, too, is looking for where God has called him to be. Jesus looks at the people that he loves, his disciples, his closest community. He looks at all the people who have experienced healing and wholeness through his deep joy of meeting them where they are. And now Jesus stares at the reality that this vocation is calling out truth to power. Spoiler alert, power does not like being called out. Power will do anything to maintain its hold, even crucifying the Son of God on a cross. In this reading from the Gospel according to John, we are at the very beginning of that final week. See, even though it's 2 weeks away, we're in it. We're in that final week. And this is the first time that Jesus says aloud that the time has come. He has alluded to this moment throughout most of the Gospel narrative, and it is here now. Now that time is here, and Jesus offers one more glimpse of his full humanity. As he also confesses, "My soul is troubled. What can I say to save me from this hour?" It's one of those things that actually we hear Jesus say in all four Gospels. Though in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus shares that at the Garden of Gethsemane, right before he's arrested, he prays aloud, "Take this cup from me, yet let it not be my will, but your will." Jesus is practicing vocational joy. He's not turning away from the people who need him most. And Jesus joins us in our deep pains and our deep needs. Jesus also knows that the one who sent him will and is be faithful and just. And that even though Jesus' joy is being with his people, he was sent for even more than that. And that time has come, whether he's ready or not. And the struggle is that even though we know the joy of resurrection dawn, even though we know that love is going to win and God's mercy and grace endure forever, even though Jesus knew and that we work on trusting those things, we also still have to face the world where there is pain and suffering. So what is your purpose? Well, Jesus' purpose, which is not ours, by the way, his was to show us the reign of God that is already here, already within reach. Your purpose is not to be the next Messiah. So, yay. Don't worry about that. But your purpose is going to help shape the world within you and around you. Your purpose, whatever it is, may feel crystal clear on some days and muddier than a flooded Wabash on most. Perhaps your purpose is to simply mirror the divine, where grace and love spreads wide and takes root, where we may only want to see death. Perhaps your purpose is to simply mirror the love of God for you, that empowers you to face the pains of this world with courage, empathy, and hope, knowing that we can't fix everything or even anything, but that we can at least go through it together. So maybe that's the purpose that we can consider, that no matter the season or the stage of our lives, we are always called to love as we are loved. And let me remind you, and as you reflect on it literally, you are very, very loved. Amen.